Today continues our sermon series through the letter of Philippians. So I encourage you to sit back and listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 3, 12 to 20, much like the original congregation may have heard this letter read out loud to them. Hear this word of God for you today. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross. I have often told you of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. Amen. So last week, in the beginning of chapter 3, we talked about who we are. What defines us? Is it all kinds of things on the exterior, like our accomplishments, our jobs, even our families? Or it is something inside of us, our hearts, our relationship with Christ. Today, Paul continues by talking about life as a race, with a goal, a prize, and the prize is Jesus Christ. When I read this week, I thought, I often feel like life is a race. What about you? Kind of makes me tired. When I think of it that way, well, I think I'm not anywhere close to finishing or winning this race. It just feels like it's going on and on. So what does Paul really mean by this example? Well, Paul had been running a different race. That's what we heard about last week. He had been running a race to be the best Jewish leader, a successful Pharisee. He listed off his resume of accomplishments. His goal was to win the race of being right, being holy, being a success. He was running a race and he was keeping score of everything along the way. He was counting every step of his race. And I wonder, do we ever find ourselves doing the same thing? Do we ever find ourselves running this race of life and keeping score of what we've done right and what we've done wrong? Do we ever find ourselves running this race of life and counting every single step? Because that's what Paul did before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was blinded with that light, and it sent him on a totally new direction as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. He realized then he had been running for the wrong prize and running in the wrong direction. Paul thought that following every letter of God's law was the right way to live, and Jesus came along and just freed him from that. Jesus showed him real life is about a relationship with him, not just laws. In fact, Jesus is the fulfillment of God's law. Knowing Jesus is different than just following the law. Before he knew Jesus, Paul was running and doing a pretty good job of it, according to a lot of people, but he was in the wrong direction. I wonder if you've ever found yourself in life running really fast in the wrong direction. It's kind of like the story of the Minnesota Vikings' Jim Marshall in a 1964 NFL game against San Francisco when he took off running to the end zone as fast as he could, and he saw the crowds just cheering, and he saw his teammates waving their arms, and when he got down to the end, A guy from the other team came and gave him a great big hug because he went the wrong direction and scored points for the other team. When they replay that moment, you can just hear the announcer yelling, "Marshall is running the wrong way! He's running the wrong way!" Sadly, the only person that didn't know he was running the wrong way was Jim Marshall. Or maybe you're like the man driving down the highway and his wife calls him on his cell phone to say, "Oh my gosh, I just saw on the news there's a crazy man driving the wrong way down the highway." And he says, "Honey, you're right, except it's not one person. I see lots of them." Maybe we're like Matt Emmons, who was one shot away from claiming the gold in the 2000 Olympics with the 50-meter three-position rifle competition. Try saying that twice. He didn't even need a bullseye to win. All he had to do was just hit somewhere on the target. Usually, his usual score would have been an 8.1, which is more than enough to put him over the top to win the gold. But in what was described as an extremely rare mistake, Emmons was in lane two, and he fired at the target in lane three, coming in eighth place. Can you see yourself in any of those stories? I can see myself. I can see myself trying really hard to get it right, but pointing at the wrong target. I can see myself sometimes trying so hard to make something work out right in life, only to find out I'm driving the wrong way down the highway. You ever find yourself doing that? The wrong target, the wrong direction? Paul realized what we have to realize. God doesn't just want some law-abiding citizens. God wants something more in this race. God wants sons and daughters, and there's a difference. Do you realize that's what God wants of us, to be sons and daughters, not just people who can get this right? God wants us to be in relationship with Jesus. And that's different than trying to keep score and do everything just right. That's different than trying to just always get that right target or drive the right way, only to find out that you're wrong. We're so often striving in our lives to do things the right way, which is usually our way. But where's God in that? What if we started the whole race with our relationship with God first and let everything else in our lives just fall into place? What if we saw Jesus as someone we need to know and love, and out of that, we started racing the right way? Paul repented in his life. He made a 180-degree turn. He realized that the goal was nothing about what you do on the outside and everything about the inside. He realized that the real goal of the race is a heart that knows Jesus Christ. Is that our goal? Are we still trying so hard to do things our own way instead of following Christ? It's not that all our accomplishments, our families, our jobs, our choices are not important. It's just that the most important thing is that relationship first and foremost. The rest comes from that. But is Jesus the most important person to us? Or are we settling? Are we settling for something less than that relationship? I think that happens a lot, right? We settle for just trying to be good, trying to look good, trying to impress other people, when really we could have this totally life-changing relationship with Jesus. All too often we settle for what we think are the best prizes in life. You know, family, friends, finances, health. C.S. Lewis once wrote that we human beings are far too easily pleased. It's like we're content with spam when steak is on the menu. We fool about with little things, he said, like drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine the holiday at sea. Once you get to the ocean, Will we settle for just making mud pies in a puddle? So too, Paul writes last week about all the things that he had, all those accomplishments, that long resume, and then he called it all garbage. Junk. Junk. Because it was without Christ. I like the way Pastor Tim Keller talks about finding our joy in Christ. He says, remember when your mother said, don't eat that candy before your meal? Why'd she say that? Because it can ruin your meal, right? It can mask your hunger for the real nutrients that your body needs. Things like power and money and success and even favorable circumstances, they act kind of like this spiritual sugar. We can get this spiritual sugar high. Christians who have this might say, yes, I believe in God and I'm going to heaven. But they're actually basing that day-to-day joy on their circumstances. And when that circumstance changes, what happens? It drives them to God. Because when the sugar disappears, when the candy's taken away, we're forced to pursue a feast that our souls really need. That's when we hunger for the spiritual nutrients we need. It's kind of like how physical food pales in comparison to this spiritual food that we are going to eat today. No comparison. This is what our souls, our hearts need. Paul says in Philippians, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He wants to know Jesus. The question is, do we? Or are we settling for candy when we can have real spiritual food? Father Brennan Manning became a monk, and when he became a monk, his superior said to him, once you come to truly know the love of Jesus, nothing else is ever as beautiful as that. What if knowing Jesus is better than anything you could ever imagine? What if the love that Jesus has for you is beyond your imagination? Now, I know some of you run, and so when I talk about running, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I don't run. I walk, maybe run a little bit, walk some more. It's about all my arthritic body can do. But I will say there's something exhilarating about getting outside and walking and breathing deeply and exercising. And I'm so impressed by all those people that have the 13.1 or 26 stickers on the back of their car, because I just imagine that running a marathon must be amazing. Now, maybe you're not a runner. I'm not. But what if we can learn something from people who are? There's an interesting book called Born to Run by Christopher McDougall, and he argues that most people are running the wrong way, literally running the wrong way, because we're running to get in shape, to live longer, kind of like a means to an end. We try to protect ourselves and our feet against injury by some really nice, padded, high-tech running shoes. But McDougall talks about a Tarahumara Indian tribe of Mexico. I mentioned them a few years ago because they know a completely different way to run. This tribe has honed the ability, get this, to run hundreds of miles without resting and without injuring themselves. This is partly because when these Indians run, they wear only very simple sandals. So from a young age, they learn to run upright on the front pads of their feet instead of on the arches or their heels the way we usually run. But beyond this, they run the way they do because they understand that running is a way of life. Our bodies can do it. They were built to do it. Okay, some of us were built to do it. And they think, they realize that we're born to do this. It's not a chore. It's a gift in and of itself. There's a scene in the book where a well-known track coach is watching two of these runners compete in this ultra marathon, 100 miles through the mountains. Can you even imagine? And the track coach is just studying these runners and looking at their technique and trying to figure out what he can take home to his track team. And what he realized was it wasn't their technique. It was their joy. It was the joy with which they ran. These runners, he says, race up one of the course's most heartbreaking hills, and they're laughing. Laughing like kids playing in a leaf pile. What makes this Tarahumara special, this tribe, is that they haven't forgotten what it means to just love running. Just love it. What if the race of life was filled with joy like that for us? What if we just loved the race, the journey of faith? Why can't we? What do you love about your journey of faith? What do you love about your relationship with Jesus Christ? What do you love about Jesus' love for you in this race? Paul was in prison when he wrote Philippians, and yet somehow he loved both the journey and the prize at the end. What do you love about following Jesus? When I was writing this, I realized I have so many things. I love pastoring this church. I love worship. I love the music, the liturgy, the prayers. I love watching the light of Christ come into our sanctuary. And I love the conversations that I have in people's homes and in the community, where I'm welcome into your lives, and we realize that some of those moments in life are really sacred and extraordinary. I love our youth cafe, welcoming the kids, serving them, giving them a safe place to be. I love that this church welcomes everyone, especially those who have been left out or left behind. Everyone is welcome and accepted here, and I love that. I love that Jesus never ceases to amaze me. I can take a walk in my neighborhood every morning, counting my blessings with God, and every single morning there's something new. Something I've not seen before, some tree I never noticed, or some insight that I have that I've never had before. I love that our Wednesday night Bible study has studied pretty much the whole Bible, and yet every time we study another book, we learn something completely new, no matter how many times we've studied it before. Isn't that awesome? What do you love? What do you love about your faith journey? What do you love about following Jesus? What if we are born to love this race, this relationship with Christ? What if we are made to keep our eyes on the prize but actually enjoy the journey? And what if just knowing Jesus gives us the kind of passion and joy that can sustain us through the toughest, most horrible times of life? Friends, that's what keeps me going week after week. That's what brings me joy. Even when my private life may be falling apart, I can stand up here and smile, not because everything's great, but because God is great. Because I know and love Jesus, and He knows and loves me. That keeps me going. What keeps you going? Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. We're born to run a race of faith, forgetting what lies behind, straining ahead. We're made to press on toward the goal of Christ Jesus, so may we find the joy of following Christ and running this race. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Friends, please stand for our affirmation of faith. The Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 34.